The following is an Auburn Network production. Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in to the Wednesday edition of The Drive. Hope everybody is doing well on what, at least in this part of town right now, is sort of an overcast, feels like rain at any minute kind of afternoon. It sort of, it even smells like rain. And people go, what are you talking? No, I mean, there is that you can just sort of feel it and smell it a little bit. Hopefully it does at my house because it has been hot. It has been really hot. It was the first day of preseason football practice for the Auburn Tigers today. And we got a chance to be out there for about a half an hour and watch the guys quickly work up a sweat. But, man, that's as far as just on the hoof and looking, as I welcome in our regular co-host here on Wednesdays, Adam Cole from the Montgomery Advertiser. Adam, how you doing, man?
Doing pretty good. I'm hoping – I hope we see some rain out the window here in the next couple of hours.
I hope there's some at my house. I mean, I've got things like, you know, sod that I'm trying to keep alive, that the city's loving the bill that they're sending me for water. But as I was about to say, at least to my eyes, this is one of the more impressive just looking groups – that I have seen for a while from Auburn. And it's not like Auburn hasn't looked talented over the last few years, but just looking, especially one of the first things that I wanted to watch, and I spent a good bit of time watching them, was the offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a very impressive looking group of offensive linemen. Now, that doesn't mean a thing,
mm-hmm.
except they'd probably win a beauty contest as far as offensive line is concerned. Those guys are appear to be in great shape.
Yeah, no, like that was the thing, was I saw a quote somewhere earlier from today, and I don't know who was the one who said it. I don't think I was over in the scrum, but one of the players was talking about how they just came out feeling like ready, and they were talking about like the attention to detail stuff too, mm-hmm. that you know always gets so hashed. And I think you kind of felt and sensed that a little bit today. I'm sure we'll get into it a little more over the next couple hours, but
oh yes,
I was the thing that stuck out to me the most was the fact that there were, not necessarily on the O-line, I'd spent more time elsewhere, admittedly, but a couple of youngsters just kind of making their presence felt between Omar Mabson and Deshaun Spencer,
mm-hmm.
which I think was, you know, you're seeing that connectivity from the spring to the fall now, the preseason. But no, it was, I think it was a pretty solid first day, pretty good start all in all.
Yeah, I was going to say, now the first guy I think everybody was looking at was Stanton Ramil, mm-hmm. and my goodness, he is bulk, his upper mm-hmm. body is massive now, but he is lean.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he looks the part. He looks like an NFL lineman.
Mm-hmm.
Now we'll see if he can hold up physically and be able to handle it. But he was out there running with the ones at right tackle today.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing too, is it's whatever tackle spot you slip him at, like he looks like a very capable tackle. But to me, like he even just, I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's the length, but like he profiles to me as a left tackle. So it'll be interesting to see if like it goes chalk in the sense of the expectation. I think that's been the consensus, is that guy's being your blindside protector. But I could see too where, you know, him rehabbing and coming back on the men, maybe it is easier to get back in there at right tackle and then make that move over. But I thought he looked good today from the time I spent around the O-line, which is the biggest thing you needed.
Oh yeah, well we got a chance to talk to Cole Best after practice, and Cole was talking about how he sort of leans on Stanton because they're two of the old guys there. They have as much or more experience than anybody else there on the offensive line. But Cole was talking about how comfortable he feels with Joe Simmons on his left. You know, Joe Simmons was a left tackle at James Madison for the mm-hmm. last couple of years. That James Madison team that Kurt Cignetti pulled a bunch of guys and wanted Joe to come with him mm-hmm. to Indiana, but he stuck around and was there. So we very well may see Joe stay at the left tackle and Stanton at the right. I'm sure they'll take a look at both. But if Stanton Ramil is able to hold up and give them a solid number one at either side, then I think your offensive line has a chance to be pretty darn good, because we saw Derek Plaz, the young transfer from Miami, step up and move into that first unit toward the end of spring. He was out there with the ones again today. The guy that has transformed himself the most to me that I saw on the offensive line is Cole Skinner.
Yeah.
Cole Skinner was a guy that when you saw him in the spring, he looked like, yeah, he's an offensive lineman.
Mm-hmm.
Because some offensive linemen will, everything doesn't quite fit into the, into the top of the pants.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the case anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he has really changed his body here over the summer, and his buddy Cole Best said, look, he's such a hard worker, and he's very, very intelligent, and he knew that he needed to change himself
mm-hmm.
to try to be ready to compete for a job in the SEC. So that's going to be interesting. And the other thing I would say, as I guess I'm just going ahead and starting talking about the offensive line, is the other player that right behind Cole Skinner is Jack Lehrer.
Okay.
Who we didn't see much this spring because he was injured. And there's another guy with a lot of experience.
Mm-hmm.
So all of a sudden you're looking at an offensive line that could be pretty darn experienced heading into this fall.
And, I think I'm realizing as we're going over all this stuff, I think maybe the years past, and inevitably, right, that always impacts your thinking a little bit.
But you can't help it.
Especially on the O-line, that's a place where I'm sure there will be a health issue at some point this year, as much as you
absolutely
don't want those things. But to think about, I don't know that I had thought much about Joe Simmons at left tackle, but to think
I hadn't either, really.
But to think about the fact that new place, new regime, more than anything, not new place actually, but you're turning a new leaf, and so what if things actually do work out for you in the way where maybe one of those tackles doesn't flop, maybe both of them pan out in the way that you'd hope, and you have two good options at left tackle, and the other one can swing to the right, and then like you said, I mean Jack Lehrer, like that's a guy that we didn't see much of. If I remember right, like I saw, I don't know that he was running with the ones, but was Jacob Strand out there getting in the rotation
Strand
a bit today?
He was, as a matter of fact, he was Stanton's backup
okay.
at the right tackle. He was the second guy up at right tackle.
That's one of those things where, with Ramil's health at the end of the spring, I found myself kind of getting into the hypotheticals of, okay, who's going to have to be the young guy? Who's going to have to surprise? But maybe this is a year. Maybe we finally see this in Auburn's O-line woes, at least for a year, take a break. I think you could put it that way, but These guys with this experience, what's not to say that they don't make that jump or give you what you need and then some. So that's, it's an exciting prospect, like just talking about this.
Especially a day after we heard the news on Ty Buster.
Absolutely.
Because that's a guy I think everyone was feeling he's got a chance to compete for a starting spot at either guard or tackle.
Absolutely. And like to have... you certainly hope that you can expedite that recovery process and maybe get him back to the point where he's playing on the back end of the year, because you don't want him to have a lapse or a lost year by any stretch of the imagination, considering what his role would have been to start. I think it would have been significant even if he wasn't starting, but it's interesting to just, I think so much in the last few years, it's been like, okay, well maybe this guard transfer isn't working out, so who's got to be the young guy? And now it's kind of like, I wrote about it going into camp, but my guy to watch on the O-line was Cole Skinner, because it was like, well, he was a swing guy for three years. Maybe he finally takes the leap. And it's, to be actually talking about, okay, it looks like these guys might be taking the leap. That feels like a change.
Well, and again, we'll pump the brakes just a little bit. It's day one. They're not in pads.
Fair.
But I'm just saying on the hoof, they look really good.
Yeah.
And you would expect day one there to be a lot of, boy, Cole Best said a lot of juice,
mm-hmm.
a lot of juice out there. I've got about 5 minutes of Cole's interview that we can run a little bit later. He's a very impressive,
mm-hmm.
very impressive young man. But we will see. The odds are everybody's not going to pan out that you bring in to try to fill spots. The good thing is there are more options on this offensive line, especially at guard,
mm-hmm.
And some young guys. And that's one thing I think that Alex Golish and his staff did a good job of, is filling out the depth and spreading it out where it's not all guys that are in their last year.
Yeah, I think that's really significant. And you just the deliberation of it all. I mean, I think you see that in a lot of spots on this roster, but with the O-line and especially, like, Tyler Hudanik, like, I think depending on obviously how well that unit does, I think we might look back on this offseason and that hire. I think he's going to be one of the most valuable guys on this staff, like moving forward. And just hearing him talk about building that group, you know, back in the spring, like it sounded very precise. And so to see it all, you know, manifest however it does in the next couple of weeks, like sounds at the least like it's getting off on the right foot.
Yes, we will. We'll go into as much detail as we can about what we saw today. I mean, there was a lot of action. I mean, as somebody was asking the other day, I hope there are not a lot of guys standing around. No, have not noted. But the only guys that were standing around were us when we weren't moving from one spot to another, just sort of watching the practice. But as you would expect, a spirited first day of practice. It was really, really humid this morning. But I think they got a lot done today. Before we get to our first break, and we'll come back and go over what we, you know, what we saw throughout the practice and what some of the players had to say following practice. As I mentioned, it was hot, it was humid. I think I mentioned yesterday on the air that I was concerned that my air conditioning had gone out at the house downstairs, which is sort of a living area. The bedrooms were upstairs, living area is downstairs, and we've got, you know, we have son, daughter-in-law, granddaughter, two dogs and a cat in the house now in addition, and nobody was comfortable downstairs last night. Everybody headed to the bedrooms, except for sort of felt for the dogs. Because they've just been sleeping downstairs, and I could tell. I mean, they were both whining. One, it's like they wanted to get out. They'd step outside. It was hot and humid there. They want to get back in. It's like, sorry, it's not any cooler in here than it was outside. But shout out to our great buddy T-Bone, and of course, you know, he is with Sensegreen. Wade is with Sensegreen. They're one of our best sponsors here. And let me give him a huge shout out to Sensegreen. As Steve came out to the house, one of their techs came out to the house while I was at practice. As a matter of fact, I called while I was over there to see if there was a possibility of anybody getting there today, because it was miserable. It was going to be just terrible during the day. And I really felt sorry for my wife and granddaughter because they're at the house. And there aren't that many places you can go and play, you know, take a nearly two-year-old to play that is air-conditioned. You know, you take them to a park, but that's miserable on a day like today. But no, Steve came out to the house. When I got to the house, he was there in his truck, and I'd told T-Bone, I said, you know, I'm hoping it's something that these units aren't the newest. So I know that before long they'll need to be replaced, but you always hope it's not just yet, you know. So I was hoping it was something along the lines of maybe just a capacitor, and that Steve had a capacitor in his hand, saying he was checking it, thought that's what it was. 5 minutes later, he walks in the house, turns on the AC, and it's working. And I said, so was it the capacitor? And it's like, no, it was just the wire to the capacitor had like either shorted or there was just a little burn spot on the wire. He just spliced a new piece of wire on it, and we're cooling, man. It is great. So, I mean, great to have folks like that can come out, can identify something, take care of it, and, you know, it wasn't drastic. Now, before long, it'll be time to go ahead and make a change, but that's a huge, huge step toward, oh, I want somebody like that coming out and taking care of it. So yes, hats off to Sensegreen for really saving the day today. My wife was in a much better mood when I got home from practice.
There you go.
Today. All right, so we'll get to our first break. We will talk more about day one of fall football practice. We'd love to hear from you if you have any questions. We've got some audio we can run for you as well. The phone number to get you through on the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar, is 334-321-1390. Come on in and join us. Bill and Adam, Brandon at the controls here on the Wednesday Drive.
Now, more of the Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Wednesday Drive. Bill, Adam Cole from the Montgomery Advertiser here in the studio. Got Brandon at the controls. Again, day one of Auburn's preseason football practice is in the books. They had the buses already over there, and I don't know how long they stay, how long the meetings last in the afternoon, but they've got spaces for meetings, so they were going to eat. They have their midday meal and whatever snack, things like that, there at the complex. I'm sure have some meetings this afternoon, go over, you know, what happened in practice today, what they're looking for tomorrow, things like that. And then they'll get back on the bus and head back out to Grand National. Your thoughts, Adam, on the camp? I was on with Wimp and Barry Sanderson in Tuscaloosa this morning, and they went, ain't exactly the Junction Boys. This is a resort that they're going to. And I went, yeah, but it's not like they're just going to be all kicked back out by the pool either.
Mm-hmm. That was like, I immediately was just, whoa, was the immediate thought. That's kind of cool. That sounds like a ton of fun. But the more you heard Alex Golish talk about it yesterday, it was kind of like, yeah, I couldn't really argue with that either. Like, what he said about it, he's like, everything they need is here. Like, if they need to rest and relax, mm-hmm. there is an entire locker room built for that here. There's, you know, recovery options and stuff like that. I think the best thing about it for those players is it's very much, even if it's not the entire camp, you have 2 weeks of like a pro ball experience kind of thing.
Right.
Which, you know, I think with the exception of this time of year, like, you don't really get much time during the football season, those kids, to focus on football entirely, at least in theory. You should, in theory, have classes going on, stuff like that. So I think that's a pretty, I can understand why you'd want to start the year that way. And certainly the fact that he's been doing it 3 years now, like, surely you've worked out the kinks of all this stuff. But I imagine taking the car keys, I wonder if that was a year one thing or if he learned that along the way. But
No, he's been doing that.
Okay.
Cole Best said he was prepared for that. I mean, I guess Peter didn't realize that he's been doing this mm-hmm. for a while and asked him. And Cole said, No, I knew this was coming because this is his sixth fall camp for Cole Best. And he said, and he's used to ever since Alex Golish has been his head coach, they've been going somewhere. And I wanted someone, and I didn't get to mm-hmm. butt in and go, how are these accommodations compared to where you were when you were at USF? I wonder. But anyway, he talked about how he really appreciates this. What a great opportunity it is for them to really bond. And he got a gave a cool response. He was asked, I guess it was JG asked him who his roommate was, and they paired him with Ty Buster.
Okay.
And he said he thinks that there was some strategy involved there because Ty is going through something, he said, that he went through and he had to miss significant time. And so he's there to sort of really help Ty understand and try to get through and get ready to come back from the time he's missing. So they paired players, and I think they tried to sort of pair mentors up with mm-hmm. with some younger players throughout. Now Eric Winters was asked about it, and he was asked how he felt when he first found out, and he said, oh man, I want to sleep in my own bed. He said, but it's really cool being around some guys that he hadn't really had a chance to talk to, and he's getting mm-hmm. to, and after one day,
yeah,
he said he already knows some of the guys better than he did before they went there.
That's a good thing to hear for sure, you know, because I can't even imagine for some of those kids who it's their first time like that, I would probably hesitate instinctually. But, you know, kind of to that point, it's like, this is also just a great chance to, like, I mean, get excited. I know that may sound silly, but the fact that it's so locked in like that, mm-hmm. you know, you have nothing to focus on. Of course, like, you're going to find ways to, assuming you have a solid enough camp, you know, don't want to have a bad one, but you've got all the reason in the world to just, like, get excited and on the wagon and think about nothing else but football with all this. And it's cool to hear that, because I know Chaz Nimrod was talking too about, he got asked who his roommate was, and he's rooming with Deshaun Spencer, which,
yeah, see, there
you know,
go.
Seems
there, you got a senior and a
pretty
and a,
fitting
and a freshman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's, I mean, the team bonding too. I'm curious to hear as the next, you know, week and change goes on, all the ways that they spend their downtime, you know, like especially when they're back at, you know, Grand National, how do they relax and unwind with all this? But it's going to be a fun thing to follow, I think, the next, you know, week plus.
Oh, yeah. So off to, I mean, it seemed like a good start today. A lot of players were where you sort of expected them to be coming out of the spring. I went over the guys on the offensive line. I was wrong. I had to recheck my notes. Actually, Jacob Strand was over at left tackle.
Okay.
Behind Joe Simmons.
Okay.
And I think it was Wilson's there and TJ Hedrick were the other right tackles with Stanton.
Okay. That's because I know Golish mentioned that was the first time I feel like I've heard TJ Hedrick's name at least in a while, but he got brought up yesterday as one of those younger guys who I think Golish was talking about. He has some swing potential, but still, you know what? That's the first time I can remember hearing his name in a while.
Well, I mean, here's a guy that was a transfer. And again, for some of those guys coming in, it's tough. They come in there at a new place. They're in a new system. And yeah, they could get lost in the shuffle a little bit, but he must have had a decent summer.
Surely,
you know?
Surely
for him to be out there working with some with the twos today.
Mm-hmm.
So that was good to see. But yeah, I'm trying to think. I focus more on the offensive line today. You were talking about receivers. I did see. I mean, your starting receivers, the first three guys out there were who you would expect. It was Keyshawn Singleton, Chaz Nimrod, and Deshaun Spencer was out there. I believe very early on, wasn't he?
Yeah, that's as I was really like, I don't know. I saw that Omar Mabson was second in the pecking rotation at running back, and kind of
that's no surprise from everything we
heard
yesterday, is it?
It's not at all. And I admittedly had kind of like, I was like, okay, maybe this was just one rotation, but stuck around. And I mean, clearly he looks like RB2 right now.
He looks like an SEC running back and a guy that's ready to play in just about any level. My goodness, he's jacked.
He's massive, and it's just the low center of gravity, too, for a running back. Like, that's something that I feel like that needs to always be part of the conversation with a good running back, is a lot of the times the best guys.
A lot of the great running backs, absolutely.
They're like those that muscle hamster build of maybe they're 5'8 or 5'9, but they got a low center of gravity, and they can keep that balance, and he's got kind of a Jarquez Hunter build to him that's really exciting, and to think that he's making this leap as he should be going into what should be his
freshman year
of college.
Yeah.
Like, it's exciting to think about what the future holds for that kid.
Oh, there's no doubt. He is right now, he is in line to get a lot of playing time this fall. I mean, yeah, he and Jeremiah Cobb are the top two. I'm not surprised at all. I mean, yeah, I thought it was really telling yesterday that both Alex Golish and Joel Gordon, when they were asked about running backs, Omar was the first name.
Brought him up unprompted. That was what really took me the most by surprise with that. And then the other thing, too, is he was low in the rotation, as I recall it. I don't think he was dead last necessarily. But did you lay eyes on Alvin Henderson at all today?
No, I did not.
I think he had a summer because he just looked so much bigger. And he's always been kind of that compact build.
Right.
But, like, I don't know what it was, but it was just like he looks like he's been in the weight room, which was interesting to see. And, you know, I wonder how much the backside of that stuff's going to shuffle around, because it looked like really the guy who was last in the rotation today was Bryson Washington. You know, but it's I don't know. That whole group is just going to be so interesting.
It's such a deep room.
So deep that I mean, an incalculable sort of good problem.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, your number four guy, regardless of who it is going to be somebody who was a number one last year somewhere.
Exactly. And it's I wonder if you polled coaches, like how often has that happened in your coaching career of you're dealing with that deep of a stable? I mean, at running back or any position, I don't think that's a common occurrence by any stretch of the imagination.
Oh, no, not at all. 334-321-1390, that's the Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. I want to we'll get you some Cole Best. I want you to hear that because it's only about 5 minutes. Really good stuff from him. There's no question he is one of the leaders of this team. Alex Golish asked yesterday about some of the leaders, and boy, he stuck with the thing that he said back in the spring. He said, you know, some guys lead by example, but to him, that's not leadership. I mean, he expects his leaders to be vocal leaders.
Yeah, and it's, I don't know, I saw that quote yesterday of what, like, it's, you're just meeting expectation.
Yeah.
I don't, I've not heard, I don't know that I've heard many other coaches say that before.
I don't think I've ever heard a coach, another coach.
Usually
say
it's viewed as like, yeah, no.
It is a type of leadership generally.
Right, right. But I also think, I think that's a very fair perspective to have, like, especially if that's, you know, obviously you're the head coach, if that's the way you want to run your locker room, yeah.
I would say probably a lot of it depends on where you set your expectations for your players.
Yeah.
If they're doing that, all right, they're meeting their expectation. Now, let other players know what they need to do, not just by doing it, but by letting them know, telling them, and helping them vocally do it.
No, and so I think that's massive, because you, the more of this intangible stuff, whether it's the bonding, wherever it's happening, or whatever else, like those sorts of things and that connective tissue, like, I wish there was a better way to quantify it, but that's, I mean, that sort of stuff is just super, super invaluable. So it sounds like, I mean, the setup, whether it's, you know, going away to the resort or the expectations being set, it's like it feels like this is doing stuff to push these kids out of their comfort zone, however that may look for some of them, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Let's see, couple of notes, guys that, you know, we'd heard Coach Golish talk about injuries and guys that were back. Good to see DeMarcus Riddick not in a non-contact jersey, and he looks like he's had a pretty good summer working out as well.
Yeah, and I mean, even DJ Durkin was saying yesterday too, he feels like you can see the spirits kind of back with him. So that's a super exciting thing. I think we were talking about him in that group a bit last week, but that's just, I mean, X was kind of talking about that today when we talked to Xavier Atkins. He was just like, you can't, you know, somebody's gonna eat. You can't account for every single one of us. And I think he's really, really right.
Yeah, I was talking about the running back room. That linebacker room is scary good.
Absolutely.
It really is. We need to get to our bottom of the hour break. Love for you to join us as we continue here with the Wednesday Drive.
To churn up some more yardage on The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Wednesday Drive, Bill. Adam Cole from the Montgomery Advertiser here in the studio. We've got Brandon at the controls. Before we let you hear some of the comments from Cole Best following practice today, I just sort of jumped in there at the beginning and just started talking about some of the things I saw. Just love to get just your just impressions from today's. Now we're not talking impressionists. I mean, maybe you can do some voices. I don't know if you can.
No, not, well, I mean, just, we don't. That's another thoughts? Show.
Yeah.
That's hour two behavior.
Yeah, there we go. That's actually back in the middle of the summer.
Yeah, that's, we need a time machine. We got to get back to June or something. But no, I think to your point of DeMarcus Riddick's health, like, that was obviously, you know, considering the report we got yesterday too, and just what we've known of these guys, it was like first thing out today was, okay, check Stanton Ramil, see where he's at, you know, and then just the laundry list of guys. And from what I found, I think the only surprise today was, I think Sylvester Smith was in non-contact protocol.
But there were just two or three guys. Shamar Arnoux.
Yes, I saw that he was doing rehab, but I don't know that I saw a non-contact on him necessarily.
Well, no, that's true. He just wasn't with them when they were doing contact. He was still inside. I guess Christian Neptune was.
Yeah, Christian Neptune was also in a no contact. But beyond that, it's like, you know, you had Champ Anthony out there, Riddick, Jonathan Echols was out there as well. I don't know how much individual and teamwork he did, but I know I saw him during stretches, not in non-contact, but Anquan Fagans had been mentioned yesterday and looked like he was out there. So like that.
Yeah, I think, didn't Golish say he's like day-to-day?
Pretty much,
like
him and Arnoux both. But that was the first thing that struck me, was it was just like, okay, I don't think there's any bad surprises here right now, like super significantly bad. And then beyond that, I think I really just more than anything go back to like, I don't know. I think today it was the optimism that was hanging over my head. I'm going to be honest, like not to stray away from the nuts and bolts observations, so to speak. But like, it's just, gosh, oh, I'll put a penny in the jar. Just felt a lot different than like the last few years, you know, so much different. The vibes, the outlook, just it just feels like you're around a different football program right now. And You know, I sense that a lot today.
I mean,
right.
We are, but I mean, no, it's hard not to get that feeling. I mean, I just feel like I felt like for the last few years that there were almost some cliques on the team. There was mm-hmm. this group and that group, and there I didn't know that there was a lot of camaraderie or chemistry is a better word for it between some offense and defense.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's something that just feels different. This team,
yes.
And again, well, they haven't had any bad times. Nothing bad's happened yet.
Right.
Let's wait and see. But I feel like this is a bought-in group.
Mm-hmm. I think that's really that's the best way to sum it up and give it substance, because it's the chemistry. I think you're absolutely right on that. Like, you know, looking at the O-line, looking at, you know, was over there when I was looking away from the running backs, looking at the pass drill they tend to do kind of in the back of that, mm-hmm. that first field. But it's, you know, the chemistry, like, you felt it today, and it's something that I think you've seen in shades since they've gotten here. I always go back to, I think I've mentioned it before, but just the spring game, and when Keshawn Singleton finally got into the game, even though he didn't start, you felt what looked like a shift on that field with him and Byron Brown. It was just
right.
Suddenly it opened some things up, and you know, it just, you felt that chemistry today, I think, is what I took away from it the most.
Something that was impossible not to notice was the smile on Byron Brown's face. My goodness. I mean, he looked like a kid that was on vacation at the beach or something like that. Not out, you know, not out practicing.
He, mm-hmm.
I mean, he's got one of those, you know, he flashes those white teeth, and you can really just see it.
How much have you heard about his dental routine?
Oh, I have not.
Well, so it's all stuff I've heard. I need to go see if anybody's, you know, written about it or if he's talked about it more.
I haven't heard anything.
Well, my understanding is, I guess before, you know, the football stuff really took off in the way it did at South Florida, I think his goal has always been to become a dentist. I hope I'm not mistelling anything, but as it's been told to me, wanted to study dentistry and took it to heart. And I believe his routine is he brushes, I want to say it's at least four times a day, twice in the morning, twice at night, flosses mm-hmm. in between, and I don't know what kind of mouthwash it is, but he just, apparently it's fine-tooth comb, and it's no wonder this man has one of the most impressive, you know, just in terms of upkeep, one of the most impressive smiles I've ever seen.
Yeah.
It looks like veneers, you know, if you're not,
it really
if you're
does.
Not thinking
I mean,
about
it. Was
it, but
man, it was those are shockingly white.
Yes, no. So my understanding is he puts a lot of care into those teeth.
Well, good for him.
Yeah.
Good for him.
No,
it's
good habit.
You don't want to take those for granted, man. You
know, absolutely.
You lose them, they ain't coming back. Oh, but yeah, I mean, so just some of the thoughts. We'll get into some more as we move on, but we've got time now. Wanted to let you hear some of the comments. Again, one of the leaders of this team, and I think one of the most important players on this team, obviously Byron Brown is, but man, to have his center there and someone who is there with his position coach and Tyler Hudanik, his offensive coordinator and Joel Gordon, and his head coach and Alex Golish, Cole Best was one of the players we had a chance to hear from following practice, and the senior, very impressive to talk to and use, you know, very thoughtful answers as he talked about the first day in of preseason practice.
Be out here. Thought we came out with the right intent. I thought it was juicy. I thought it was intentional. He definitely gets to some guys. It's a little bit different than spring ball, but I thought there was, especially on the O-line, more of a second wind, if you will, kind of came out. It's like, holy cow, man, it's hot. You know, bullets are kind of flying. It's full speed, but once we kind of got that second wind, everyone kind of, you know, took a deep breath and settled in. I thought, man, the detail was where it needed to be. I thought guys came out here, were intentional, and man, it's just grateful to be out here and have the opportunity to play this game.
You obviously play with Skinner a lot at
yes, sir.
USF. Where have you seen him kind of grow the most? He looked pretty impressive out here when we were out here today.
Yeah, Skinner, man, I give him credit. That guy has grown in so many different ways. The biggest thing that stands out to me from an off-the-field standpoint is just his leadership. You know, he's always been one of the guys that does things the right way and has always held other accountable kind of silently, if you will. And me, among many other guys through his journey, have always kind of pushed him to speak up and use his voice because he has one. So he's grown huge there. I think just as a player, you know, physically, mentally, his confidence, I think he's you know, taken drastic steps from, you know, a year ago to now, and, you know, especially from spring ball to now. And I think seeing his kind of confidence go up day by day, man, he's going to be a huge asset for us this year.
Cole, you've got a lot of guys that are battling to be on either side of you, including Skinner, obviously.
Yes,
but,
sir.
I mean, just talk a little bit about what you've seen from the guys in that battle.
Yeah, so, you know, starting with Skinner, like I said, man, he's made huge strides. You know, he's someone that I dang sure trust. I know these coaches trust. Going to Derek Plaz, he's another guy that has taken huge steps as a leader. You know, a little bit younger of a guy, kind of got thrown into the fire, but I've been super impressed with, you know, how he's embraced it all and how he lives in this building and is just eager to get better. You got guys like, you know, Jack Layer, who's another guy who's played a lot of ball. He's super intelligent. He's someone that I trust as well. And you got guys like Kenneth McManus, who, you know, are younger guys kind of fighting for that opportunity, fighting for those ones and twos reps who, I mean, man, all these guys are bought in. All these guys, you know, we're all on the same page. And everyone's ultimately doing what they need to do to get their minutes and get on the field.
What kind of impact does having a guy like Stanton actually out here, actually able to do stuff after not being able to do a whole lot in the spring? How much have you seen that kind of have an impact?
Man, it's huge. It's huge. I've been excited about Stanton the day I knew that we were getting him here. You know, he's someone I've gotten really, really close with. He's an older guy who's played a lot of ball. I feel like me and him share a lot of the same leadership qualities. We see things the same way. So I lean on him a lot, you know, just even off the field in, you know, whatever it might be with younger guys in the room or a culture standpoint. Mm-hmm. But on the field, I mean, man, that guy, you know, played a lot of ball. He's got a bunch of impressive tape. He's a super good player. Like, he's super athletic. And, man, it's fun having him back out here. I looked to my right a couple times today and just kind of smiled like, man, it's good to have you back.
What's it been like having kind of the true camp feel, you guys all being together away at the hotel for the next 2 weeks?
Yeah, so, you know, for me, it's kind of more or less the same thing that I've been used to, but I kind of love the idea of, you know, car keys turned in, everyone at the hotel, it's all ball. This is my sixth fall camp now, so in my five previous ones, you know, this is where guys I truly believe get the closest and build relationships, and guys that you might not really know that well or guys that you may have never even talked to, you know, you get an opportunity to sit down and kind of hear their stories, and I think that, you know, doing fall camp this way allows you to have the closest connection and brotherhood going into that week one game.
Was this something that you guys did at South Florida?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Do you feel like some of that, you know, helped a lot in terms of togetherness?
Absolutely.
Connection?
Absolutely. I think, you know, togetherness, I think keeping guys focused, I think eliminating distractions. I mean, I see no negative, you know, when it comes to staying in the hotel, only positives.
Who are you rooming with?
I'm with Ty Buster.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's, you know, younger guy. Some news just came out yesterday. He won't be participating in camp, you know, battling through some injury stuff, but, you know, happy that I can be there for him because, you know, I've had very similar procedures. I've been told before that, you know, I won't be able to play for a certain amount of time, so I feel like, you know, there might have been some strategy there in putting us together, but, you know, to offer him any wisdom or advice or even just be there for him, you know, I'm happy to do it.
In the spring, like, it looked like Joe had just, like, fit right in with you guys on the offensive line. Obviously, this is more of that here today. Just, what do you like about him and kind of another one of those guys, play long ball and a leader up front?
Yeah, man, like, biggest thing that stands out to me about Joe Simmons is, like, he's not afraid to be who he is. You know, he's the same guy every day. You know what you're going to get from Joe every day. He's, you know, he can be a goofball and have fun, but also when it's time to lock in and it's time for football, he's, you know, he's super locked in. He's ready to work. And, I mean, outside of, you know, how physically and athletically talented he is, I think, man, he's a great person and a great, you know, attitude to have around the O-line room. And I think a lot of the younger and even kind of that middle of the group pack, they all look up to him.
Cole, was there ever a time this summer when you weren't doing football stuff? You guys stay in shape year-round.
Yes, sir. Yeah, no, we are here all summer minus about 4 weeks that we get off. So, yeah, I mean, it's a...
Like, what are you doing in those 4 weeks?
Yeah, so just from here when we're gone.
Just anytime. Yeah,
and I think we get right after spring ball, we get a week or two off, and then you get about a week off for the 4th of July, and then there's one other break sprinkled in there. But usually just either chilling at the crib, you know, kicking my feet up, or go back home and see the family. Yes, sir.
Cole Best today following practice, and you can tell, I mean, he's a natural leader. I mean, and his teammates really respect and are sort of drawn to him. It's great when you've got that kind of guy at center, and you've got the similar type there at quarterback in Byron Brown. I mean, because that's what you want. Those guys have got to be your leaders on offense.
Yeah, absolutely. He seems like, I think between him and Byron, like, you know, we'll see how it looks this season, but I think you would say that they've kind of been extensions of each other in a lot of ways, playing alongside each other. But Cole, to me, just feels like an extension of that coaching staff, you know, whether it's Golish or a bunch of different pieces of it. But he just feels like he brings as much mentally as he does physically, I think, not only to that position group but that team. And he's, when I hear him talk, I hear a guy who, whenever the playing career is done, like, he's either going to be a coach or he's going to be on TV.
You're right about
that. Or should give either a shot, you know, because he's very, very well spoken for sure. You know, and it's, I don't know, it's cool to, I know we were talking about it, you know, between spots, but you go to these things and you can only hunker down at one person because maybe you need to get their audio or video. Mm-hmm. I wasn't able to get over to Cole. So it's, you know, it's cool to hear him talking about it and hear the outlook and kind of where he's seeing things right now.
Oh, great. Yeah. Cause I want to sort of pick your mind and get thoughts of what Xavier Atkins and Chaz Nimrod had, because I was over there sort of on one side where we're a couple of guys and you were over there with a couple of others. So we'll talk about that and more. Love to hear from you. I'm sure there's some questions that you have about, you know, what we saw on the first day of practice. We'll be back out there again tomorrow morning. Looking forward to that. And then the next time, on Saturday when we get out there, Auburn will be in pads. I mean, they're going to go ahead and jump right into it. That's one of the things we've talked about here this week, Adam, is it's not like the old days when the first few days you're trying to get everybody in shape. You're going through conditioning. That's already taken care of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I'm excited to get out there on Saturday. Like, I don't recall it being this way in years past. Like, when we got the media schedule for this week, it was like three practice availabilities.
It used to be like a couple of days in shorts, a couple of days in shells.
Right.
You know, you'd have helmets only, and then you'd get in pads.
And so it just feels expedited. And I think inevitably, you know, I know Golish was talking about the academic calendar picks up in the middle of this, which is new. But I'm excited to see the pace and the rhythm of this, because I think it's going to fly by.
We'll get to our final break of hour number one. Plenty of time for you to join in as we're with you till 6 o'clock, as usual, here on the Wednesday edition of The Drive.
The Drive continues. The Drive with Bill Cameron on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back in. Final few minutes of hour number one here on the Wednesday Drive. Bill, Adam Cole from the Montgomery Advertiser. Adam, before we continue with our thoughts on practice and other things, talk a little bit about what you've got going there at the Advertiser. What's the latest and maybe an idea of what you're working on?
Yeah, well, I think I've talked about it last couple spots, but been working on a project about just coaching staff experience in this league.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, like, before we hopped in at the top of the first hour, like, I finally got done crunching those numbers. I think I'm halfway through. It's somewhere in this notebook I'm holding in front of my face right now, but I'm like writing them down and then going home tonight and like getting that information fleshed out and finally writing this. But I'm very intrigued to just sit down and look at this, because seriously, I went through and I have a spreadsheet that has 16 sheets, slides, I forget what the right word is, but went through, I mean, staff by staff, person by person for every on-field assistant, and locked down total experience of
the
staff.
Conference.
Yes.
Okay.
SEC experience, Power Four experience, and then experience as a head coach and a primary coordinator. So like no co-coordinator title, and not like recruiting coordinator, like, you know, if you were a run game coordinator, defensive offensive coordinator, that kind of thing, but broke it down that way. And so tonight I finally get to look through it all and see what the returns are. So excited about that. That should be out here hopefully in the next week or so, if not the next couple weeks. And then still transcribing those interviews with Auburn's front office. There was about, it was about 2-ish hours. So I'm still working on that. Mm-hmm. But you know, should have, once that starts rolling out, that should be pretty consistent through fall camp and maybe even into early in the football season. But yeah, those have been the things that have been taking the most of my time the last couple of weeks. But there's a light at the end of the tunnel finally. So that's pretty exciting.
That's cool. I mean, yeah. You've got all that leading up, and then there'll be like daily notes. Mm-hmm. I'm sure.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, as far as that's the other piece of it is the day to day of, you know, we'll have practice observations over at the Montgomery Advertiser's website. You know, from every day of practice. And you know, by and large, should have at least something off of every availability. And if you don't see something immediately off of the availability, just know that doesn't mean there's not going to be anything written about it. That usually means there's going to be maybe a a bigger, more significant story looking at it a little more in the morning. So that's kind of the breakdown of how I treat the, you know, the preseason camps is, mm-hmm. is a lot of practice notes, and you know, you're flipping a lot of quotes from pressers into quick little stories. But yeah, it's finally the busy season, and been feeling it the last 2 days.
And as you mentioned, and we've talked about it, I mean, early on, at least we're getting a lot of mm-hmm. opportunities.
Mm-hmm. No. And so that's, I'm curious to
kudos
see if
to,
it,
to Taylor Kirk, everybody.
Seriously.
Know.
It's, and I think
Coach
we're
Golish, you know,
we're getting Cody Burns later this week, right?
Saturday.
And
yeah.
I do believe that there's, I think it'll be on a rotating sort of basis. I know in the spring we did those round tables.
Yeah. From what I understand, when we're going to get position coaches with some of their players.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, I'm very excited about that. I don't know that I've ever,
no,
you know,
I haven't either.
I don't think I ever have covered a team that like does that structure.
It makes so much sense.
It makes a ton of sense. So I'm excited about that.
Yeah. So we're really looking forward to those opportunities. We'll be out there tomorrow morning. We get players after practice again tomorrow, and then Saturday we get a viewing window, and we get Cody Burns and some should be some receivers. You were there. I know we've only got a minute or so. But you were talking about Chaz Nimrod, a guy who last year was off to a great start mm-hmm. at South Florida before he got hurt, but looked like he was on his way to a 1,000-yard receiving season. He's a guy that started his career at Tennessee, mm-hmm. and he has shown every indication that he is completely healthy, and he's the kind of guy that can take the top off of a defense.
Yeah, and today it was funny because he spoke for, you know, I don't know how long it was, 5 or so minutes, but really the theme of it was everybody – when the receivers get brought up or when you get brought up, like you are inevitably gushed about, like people have really been impressed with what you've been doing, your
True.
Coaches. And, you know, he talked about a lot of the same kind of things his head coach does, process and locking in on stuff like that. But no, he's another one of those Cole Best types of just very well spoken. And I'm curious to see what he does this season with all that, because he could be a really big piece.
Oh, I agree. If he's healthy, I think he's a dangerous weapon. All right, we'll step aside. We're halfway done here on the Wednesday Drive. Love for you to join in, 334-321-1390, as we continue with hour number two of the Wednesday Drive.
Capital of Alabama. This is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome in to hour number two of the Wednesday Drive. It's a cloudy afternoon here, at least on this side of town. Maybe in some areas there was some rain today. I know it would be welcomed by an awful lot of folks, including yours truly. But yeah, it's another hot, humid day, and a typical day for the first day of preseason football practice. Very humid, as Auburn went through its first practice this morning over on the field by the new athletics complex, on the fields there by the new athletics complex. Media was allowed to watch for about 25 minutes or so, and we got to, you know, got to get a pretty good idea of who's working where, you know, what some of the battles are. Adam's locked out. You can just put, you should be able to, there's a little button you can push and let him in. There we go. I was going, who is calling me on my phone? Adam Cole is co-hosting as he usually does. Wave. There we go. Yeah. we have security systems here. You never know who's going to try to break in while we're on the air. No. It's after normal business hours. So we'll have to get Adam a code so he can get in. And we need to show Brandon there's a button over there you can push. Yeah. That unlocks the door. So I look down and I see my watch is signaling that I'm getting a phone call. It's like, who's calling me? I'm on the air. It's like, oh, it's Adam. I know what that is. The door locks when Tracy leaves. So Adam's back in here from the Montgomery Advertiser alongside here in hour number two. You doing all right?
Doing all right. Can't complain.
Didn't want you to be, too traumatized because you're locked out. It's not that we didn't want you back in.
I was hitting the button.
I forgot about that.
No, that was the one thing I didn't account for running back out to my car. But we're here.
That's okay. That's all right. So Adam's alongside, and as I was saying, we got about 25 minutes or so to watch practice this morning and get an idea of who's working where, who's starting off. First up in reps and things like that. And that's sort of how you get an idea of early, like not really depth chart, but the pecking order coming out of the summer.
Yeah, it's always first rotation and second rotation.
Oh, yeah.
It's never first string or second string, but that's, I guess going back to some of the things I'd mentioned earlier, but seeing like the Mabsons and the Spencers is, it's funny to see a lot of times I recall the talk of the spring just sort of taking a turn or going in a different direction about this time of year. But, you also get some of that of these guys who, we have heard a lot about both Omar Mabson and Deshaun Spencer, but to see it carry over, that to me is always one of the biggest takeaways of a day like today. And, I'm sure will be another takeaway the next couple of days of practice.
Yeah, I mean, we will note as to any changes as to who's up in what order. But what that tells me is that Omar Mabson and Deshaun Spencer did what they were supposed to do during the summer.
Absolutely.
They did everything to catch the eye of their coaches and their teammates. But we've heard nothing but glowing reports about what they did over the summer, and that's great news for them. And I love the way that Joel Gordon was talking yesterday about Omar, about how what he has done is he sort of helped bring the rest of that running back room up. I mean, he's sort of like set the standard,
mm-hmm.
and like, hey, if you're going to compete with me, you're going to have to do more.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's especially to hear that from such a young kid.
Like, yes.
That is, you need a lot of that, and that's the best way, I think, more than probably just about any, for a guy who's that young to, like, if you can set an example, especially in that room, like that deep and that loaded of a room.
That's an experienced room. Like,
right.
You have four guys who last year were the number one running back on their team with Jeremiah Cobb here, Bryson Washington at Baylor, Tay Meadows at Troy. Or is it just those three?
And then Nekai Davenport.
Oh, Nekai Davenport at South Florida.
It wasn't the leading rusher at South Florida. That was Byron Brown. But still, he was their...
But he was their leading running
right,
back.
Right. He was their RB1. So, yeah, you've got four FBS RB1s in there. And
then Omar Mabson apparently is a guy who is already, taking a leadership role with those guys.
Which just, I mean, that just speaks so much, just speaks volumes. And I just... It's super cool, his story that he reclassified, but it's as we hear more about him, I wonder what his recruitment would have been like if he, stayed.
Because,
I mean, he was already viewed as a blue-chip guy
class. He was phenomenal as a sophomore and junior.
He was ridiculous at Auburn High. And so
yes.
The fact that, I think if he stayed in his class, not that, that may have done him some benefit, sure, I guess, but, I think this is a kid who we're talking about. It would have been, a five-star top 100 type of talent, just the way it's looking.
What do you hear everybody also say about him? When they're raving about him, they always say, and he really loves Auburn.
Mm-hmm, that too.
I mean, this was his dream. He wanted to play at Auburn.
Yeah, and I mean, for it to work out the way it did, and for it to continue to work out, him sticking around with a new regime that he didn't commit to,
absolutely.
I mean, the stuff that does to give a level of trying to think of the right word, but by the same nature of, this was always his dream, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, to withstand at least one coaching turnover like that, I think there's more love and admiration for a place that can come by way of that. So I just fascinated to see how the career of Omar Mabson plays out from here, because he's off to a really good start, especially this fall camp.
No question about it. Bill and Adam, Brandon at the controls. We'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390. That's the Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. And we've got some calls holding. We'll go ahead and get right to the phones. And Dan is up first. Hey, Dan.
Hey, guys. I don't know if you guys remember, but last year they said Omar Mapson was the best pass protector.
Yeah, Alex Golic said that.
And so, you know, it's pretty good. If he's improving across the board and everything else, it's definitely – you know, looks like he's definitely involved with, you know, the rotation big time.
He's probably the physically strongest of the group right now as an 18-year-old. And we heard Joel Gordon talk about how he's improved his speed. And it's not like he was slow before.
Yeah. One thing I was going to talk about with Golic, every day that we talk about him and you hear more stuff about him, you know, about how detailed he is and, you know, you come up with more ideas that seem to be really, really intelligent ideas. So, you know, when you hear about this thing, we're going to have a camp and everyone's going to be locked up for 13 days and we're going to pair guys up, you know, that we strategically paired them up. You know, in this day and age, when you're trying to keep players and you want them to come to Auburn or come to your team and not have them leave, you know, in 1 year if things don't work out, you're doing a fantastic job with all these different ideas of making players love the team and love being here. And you know, you put them with a player that's a senior, you take a freshman wide receiver who's I guess arguably kind of in the same position. I mean, well, that's the best way in the world to get the guy to learn and get up to speed. And you know, because he'll be replacing, if Chaz Nimrod was a slot guy a lot of the time, you know, and then you replace him, you know, the next year, I mean, you're helping the kid progress so much better by doing it like that and creating the team camaraderie and everything else. I haven't heard anybody else doing that. I'm not saying there's not somebody else out there doing it, but that's a fantastic idea when you think about it.
Well, and you know, it also makes sense that where Alex Golic was at South Florida, it was critical to try to keep as many players because, look, if you do evaluate, you spot talent, you evaluate them, you develop them, then the next step normally is, you know, you're going to be rated by the bigger schools. So you do everything you can to keep those players as close as possible and giving them a reason to stay. So I think that's a great carryover. And now you're at Auburn, you've got a better shot of keeping those players if you can really get them bought in and, you know, just part of the process, understanding. That's something you were talking about it in hour number one. Adam, that you've heard Byron Brown and Cole Best and Chaz Nimrod talking about that, sounding like Alex Golic and the coaching staff when they're talking about team.
No, and it's just like it's so you're not in theory going to have a program in the same ways that, you know, in terms of depth, I think, and retaining that quality depth, you're not going to get to, you know, pre-portal levels of, like, you know, some of those Kirby Smart Georgia defenses
No, where you're able to look 2 and 3 years down the road and project, all right, this guy is going to be doing something in 2 and 3 years because, no, there's no guarantees anymore.
And I think a lot of coaches, I don't know that many just completely give up on that aspect of being able to retain talent and depth and sort of build a program in that way. But the fact that, you know, that seems to be not only a priority for this coaching staff and this program under Alex Golic, but the fact that there's that plan in place of, you know, kind of like Dan's pointed out, like you can see the ways that they're trying to build that up. And with how well they've been doing on the recruiting trail, you know, I wonder how much that retention is going to correlate, because it seems like there's a vision there to get that sort of thing and keep these kids on campus.
You see so many schools that just seem to be playing for this year. I mean, and I understand that thought, because if you don't do well this year, you may not be the coach next year. But it's really difficult to just be planning for this year and having to do that every single year. You know, nearly replacing who knows, you know, how much of your roster.
And I mean, for South Florida, I mean, you know, Byron Brown never flying the coop when they were in South Florida. I mean, there's a lot of stuff in terms of retention with that program that going back through and kind of peeking around and looking at it is impressive in and of itself. So, like you said, I mean, you got a better shot to keep some of these kids if you're at Auburn, or, I mean, I'd say generally most SEC schools, and wonder how that is going to pay off for this staff, because it seems like they've got a lot of experience doing it.
Yeah. No, I just think when you go through practice and then you have, like, when the guys get to practice and they're young and they have the senior guys that they can mentor with, you know, you can't always have, you probably don't always have time to have the coach talk to every single player for as long as they need to. But then if you have a senior guy in your position that can sit there and help teach you and help develop you along with the other coaches, that's just, to me, just smart coaching all the way around. That's thinking outside of the box. That's coming up with great ideas. And, you know, he claims or talks so much about leadership. Well, you know how many leaders just quit? Most of the time when you're a leader, it's like when the going gets tough, the leaders step up, and that he wants everyone to be a leader.
Right.
Those are just a lot of really deep things that you don't see out of most coaches or a lot of coaches.
No, you're absolutely right about that, Dan. Yep, some great points.
It's exciting. Appreciate it, guys.
Appreciate the call. By the way, though, actually, Chaz and Deshaun today were out there at the same time.
It was more
like Chaz, sort of like Deshaun was maybe a flanker, Chaz sort of the inside guy, and then Singleton the outside guy.
Okay.
Because it looked like behind Chaz, when I got to see the receivers, lining up behind Chaz was Jeremiah Coger and then Sam Turner.
Okay.
Were the guys at his spot, and it was Deshaun, Bryce Kane, and then Christian Neptune at the other inside spot, and with Singleton and Brian Williams and Eric Smith as the outside guys.
I really like that mix of slot guys. What we said, Deshaun Spencer, Bryce Kane, and Christian Neptune.
Yes.
Like I mean, Deshaun, we've already talked about him a lot on these last couple or so hours, and there's a lot of reason to see the promise and excitement around him. Bryce Kane, you know, there's obviously that storyline of what if he's the guy who sticks around from the Freeze Four and finds that spot, but then was looking at his stuff last week. I was trying to go through and find a player at every position who we may not be talking about who's worth having that conversation. And Christian Neptune's a guy who I think was maybe top three in terms of just how much Byron Brown targeted him last year. Super productive, true freshman, and got really involved in the run game too.
Yeah.
I think he could, depending on how it all goes, I'm not going to be shocked if he turns into more of an offensive weapon kind of thing.
And I genuinely think they want to use six or seven receivers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there's going to be plenty of opportunity, but that trio of guys in the slot, like they all have, to me, very intriguing and kind of colorful stories. So, you know, that's a position battle that's going to be worth watching for sure.
334-321-1390. Who do we have up next, Brandon? Slack, I believe, is up next. Hey, Slack.
What's going on, fella?
Hey, man. Excited that we're actually able to talk about something going on the field.
There you go. Man, I'm excited about innovation this guy's pouring into the program.
Mm-hmm.
It's very innovative because I've known in the past when guys come back from the summer working out, the trainers and everybody else has done their job to get these guys in shape, and it doesn't take but a week or so, and you can get out of shape doing stuff that you didn't have a business with. So the concept of taking away the keys, I see the girlfriends later, I see the friends later, I see the buddies later. I might even see all the police department guys later. I'm pretty sure those guys are happy that they're not on camera.
I'm sure you're right there.
Exactly. You know, and all it takes one time, guys, in those 2 weeks, is one guy on that team to do something wrong, and it could throw everything off.
I can break everything up. I mean, not just that one player, because he's going to have some friends that are going to take his side if things don't work out well.
Exactly. So, you know, taking away that idea of getting you, all of us have been 22, 23 years old, and you wish the parents had taken the keys away from us sometimes.
Yeah, you're right.
So, hey, man, I like that. I really do. And like you said, we're getting a chance to, I think in the past we've had guys, when the defense guys have stick together and the offense guys have stick together, and some of these guys never even knew each other.
That's what Cole Best was saying earlier today, that, you know, there's some guys you've seen, but you really hadn't been able, you hadn't hung around them, you weren't living with them, you know, you didn't know them, and this is a way where, hey, they're all right there. They're going to be together, you know, 24 hours a day for the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, and it might be that when they get ready to go on the road, that's going to probably be their roommate when they get ready to go on the road.
Yeah, well, one thing, here's something else to think about. I mean, this is also where they go for home games. This is where the team stays for home games. So they're already doing, they're already getting a little pregame prep for that.
Okay. So I assume the theater area is you get up every morning. I mean, you go to practice. Has classes started yet?
No, classes start on the 17th. So
that's good.
So that this camp is basically going to end the first day of class. Camp will continue, but I mean, because it'll be preseason. Mm-hmm. But this camp where everybody is just together there at the Marriott and then back at the complex, that'll go up to right to the first day of class.
That's even better. So get to practice every morning and have a meal and have meetings and go back to the hang out.
Yep, that's right.
That's cool. All right. Appreciate it, guys.
Great hearing from you, Slack. All right, we need to get to our first break of hour number two. Back with more of your phone calls, 334-321-1390, as we continue here with the Wednesday Drive.
This is Auburn baseball coach Butch Thompson, and you're listening to The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on Auburn Opelika Sports Leader, ESPN 106.7.
It's Bill and Adam Cole today. Here on the Wednesday, as it is on Wednesdays, Brandon at the controls, and Josh is up next on the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar. Hey, Josh.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Pretty good.
Hey, just going to ask a quick question, and I'll just listen. So I know it's just the first day, but was there any, you know, because I know Golish has really emphasized over and over again the words, you know, he wants to be, you know, establish an identity and be violent, you know, be physical, and he really wants to focus on running the football, which that's something that, you know, has frustrated for the past couple of seasons, like really committing to the run. I feel like that's a strength of the team. But just wondering if y'all saw anything that kind of showed that, even if it was just the first day. Appreciate it, guys.
Hey, appreciate the call, Josh. Well, one of the things that made it – I mean, a couple of the things that make it tough. I mean, today they're they're still in shorts.
Right.
So there's not going to be any, you know, really heavy contact in this. And we didn't get to see any really offense versus defense today. It was position drills mostly. Quarterbacks working on handoffs and throwing to receivers, offensive linemen and defensive linemen on the sleds is what we got a chance to see. But – that being said, the coaches were making sure that the guys, when I was watching the offensive line and they're working on the sled, the not just Coach Hoodie, but the assistant offensive line coach, I mean, are screaming at them, you know, be drive aggressive, whip there, you know. I mean, I can't use all the words here on the show. And I heard some coming from the defensive line as well. So, I mean, those kinds of things are definitely being they're being reminded on every single attempt that every player that I saw, running backs, offensive line, linebackers, didn't get a chance to get over to the secondary today, but no, I mean, that theme of aggressiveness and violence is being reminded. Those players are being reminded on every single snap.
You mentioned, I don't know why it didn't stick in my memory, but as we are heading outdoors after they stretch inside, you mentioned, like, not even just, you know, Hoodie, but like the assistant O-line coaches.
Oh, yeah.
First thing I walk out to see is I forget if his title's technically analyst or like assistant position coach, but Parker Ball,
yes,
who works with those O-linemen, like, just was like, you would have thought that he just like took a rip of smelling salts, you know, like he was just,
or somebody had just blown an assignment in a critical point
of
the game.
That too. That would probably be the more appropriate example here. But no, high energy. I think there was very high energy, and I mean, particularly like to that commitment to the run game. Maybe a bit of a cop-out of an answer, but do you remember in the spring, we would always catch a period where it looked like a goal line package, and I don't know if the running backs were just substituting in for the quarterbacks, but they had running backs handing off to running backs in the spring. And I don't think it was a wildcat sort of thing, but
I don't know why. I'm sure it was a matter of needing an extra body. So it was like, you know, Jeremiah Cobb would hand it off to Omar Mabson or whatever. But I always saw that and just thought, you know, we're never really going to know unless we see that package come into a game. Of if
I wouldn't be stunned to see somebody line up in the Wildcat.
Me neither.
With another back in the backfield.
And that to me was just like, I'm going to believe it more when I see it. But that to me was an early sign of like, you know, I think they are pretty committed to the run game, because I'm not going to be shocked if we see Wildcat, if we see some, you know, funky sets with more running backs than usual on the field. Like, I'm curious to see how the creativity of the run game evolves, but I think there have been, you know, reading between tea leaves, if you like to do that, I certainly do sometimes. I think there have been some things that show you this could get interesting. It could get colorful.
I think there were some unique sets that USF ran last year. I believe Cole Skinner lined up in the backfield.
He did. I think he scored 2 touchdowns last year, and I think he's already been asked about that, but. Yeah, I love the conversation that seems to go on when, you know, Golish gets asked about, I mean, a lot of the logistics of an offense, but particularly how an offense evolves and develops and shifts to its personnel. That's just one thing. I don't know that I've ever heard a football coach put it as well as he did and has, but I'm interested to just see what the shifts and the new wrinkles are this year, because you've got a lot of different looks of personnel at a bunch of different spots than you've had.
And you know, I've heard some folks say, yes, well, it worked a few years ago. Is it going to work now? That type thing with offense. But if you look, I mean, South Florida's offense this past year is not what Tennessee's offense was when Alex Golish was the offensive coordinator there. Now, he's obviously not the offensive coordinator, and he's not the play caller anymore, but it's still, he's an offensive guy.
Absolutely.
And I think that's a great point that you made there, Adam. I mean, you have to continually be evolving.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just because, I mean, we saw that with Gus. Mm-hmm. I mean, things that worked. Look, defensive coaches are going to come up with ways to stop what is working, and what you have to do then is find something else that they're not prepared for, and that's I think that's something to look forward to, and to you know, just to see what happens here this fall.
Absolutely. It's like, I think about, you know, to your point with Gus, I feel like what we saw the last 3 years was, even if there was a little hope for it, I think there was a little hope for it in non-conference last year with that offense. Usually just always reached a point, if not right at the start of the year, where to me, like, I, you know, he never got asked about it. And so I don't want to assume that this is what I was seeing, but it felt like the play calls were based on the reputation and the history of how Hugh Freeze had been successful.
Right.
And when he was at his peak with that offense, it was a decade ago and nobody had caught up. Mm-hmm. And now you're, you know, I don't want to assume that he was calling plays that were identical to when he was at Ole Miss in 2016. But yeah, naturally, like, people have caught up and you have to change and evolve. And I think that was, especially early on when Alex Golish got here, that was one of the most refreshing things to hear, was it was like, yeah, you're not just going to run the exact same playbook every year and wipe the dust off after, you know, a couple months in the offseason and just break it back out. Like, you got to change. You got to grow. You got to get better. And I think that's an area where I think fans, if things go well this year, I think they could be really happy about what they see and just the logistics of that offense.
334-321-1390. That's the Drive hotline, sponsored by Skybar. We're going to get to our bottom of the hour break. Half an hour to go. Plenty of time for you to join us here on the Wednesday Drive.
live on The Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron on ESPN 106.7
and online at ESPNAU.com.
To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Thursday Drive. Bill and Adam Cole from the Montgomery Advertiser here in the studio. Brandon at the controls. And, yeah, we'd love to hear from you if you've got any thoughts, questions on what we saw or, you know, anything about Auburn preseason football practice. Before we talk a little more football, the basketball team is in Greece,
mm-hmm.
where they will take on the Serbian pro team, mega what?
I think off the dome, I'm not looking at anything. I think it's KK Super Mega Basket.
I think it's right.
I think that's it. And I think the only reason I remember it is because that's where Filip Jović played before he came over last year.
That is correct. And they will play them Saturday and Sunday. But early on, just some shots of them getting to actually sort of take in some of the unbelievable sights.
Were they
over
at
in Athens? What with their Parthenon?
Okay, that was the Parthenon. I know what they look like, and if I see a photo of them, I'm like, that is a ruin in Greece. Not always sure I could give you the name, but no, I did see that earlier. So I wonder if there'll be. I seem to recall when their last trip was Israel 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. I seem to recall there were some viral like. Just some funny photos and things like that. You know, like Bruce Pearl in a hot tub with his shirt off, like double fisting beers, that kind of thing. But no, I think it'll be a cool trip. I mean, like you said, it's what they're in Athens and Mykonos, and that's I can't think of few places I would want to spend like my downtime right before a athletic season, you know, than that.
No kidding.
So, you know, I wish we could watch a live stream, but I guess that's not happening.
Wish there were a stream. Yeah. Wish there a way. I mean, really, there's no way of really keeping up with, you know, what's going on. We'll have to rely on Ted.
Ted Feely. Save us, Ted Feely.
Yeah.
I'm sure he'll come through. I'm sure he will.
Yeah, well, he gets to be there. I mean, this is something, yeah, you're right, would have been an absolute dream to be there, but I'm sure what a tremendous opportunity it is for them. What a great, you know, we talked about football camp and the ability to, you know, build the chemistry there. You have fewer guys, and we've heard really good things mm-hmm. about the bonding that this team, this basketball team, has done. But it's another great opportunity to do so here one more time before classes get started for fall.
Yeah, absolutely. Like just to even, I mean, I don't know, to have that experience of travel. I always very briefly meta sidewind here. The thing I always love about traveling is how much more it makes home feel like home
right.
when you get home. Mm-hmm. And to go through that sort of experience, you know, I mean, we grew up traveling as a family a lot, like to go through that sort of experience with other people and then to come back, even if you're not all under the same roof, like it builds that feeling of, I honestly think, home with those people a lot. And so to be able to go overseas and do that. And like you said, I mean, when we heard, I think, was from Kevin Overton and Thomas Dowd, they were already talking about the cohesion and the chemistry right. of this group. And I can imagine that's only going to grow tenfold with a trip like this, you know?
Yeah, that I don't think there's any question about it. And I mean, that's something that is great to have when you have to have in basketball. Now you have to have so many new faces each year. You're just about turning over a complete roster almost everywhere, year in and year out.
Yeah, I think it was 8 newcomers in total for Auburn this last offseason. And it's just, yeah, it's with what you've seen from Auburn the last 2 years, right? A season that just is beyond your wildest dreams and you're having to rebuild an entire roster. And then the next year doesn't work out maybe like you wanted it to. And once again, you're doing the overhaul. So it's just, yeah, it's one of those things where I feel like it's more relentless, probably more than any of the big three for basketball offseason in, offseason out.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You're absolutely right. When you're going with a, you know, 13 and even whether you've got 13, 14, 15 scholarship spots, you know, it's 8 to 12 mm-hmm. is what you have to have every year. Now, interesting that, you know, one of the members of last year's team that, you know, just found out in the last couple of weeks he's got an extra year.
Yeah.
Could be could be facing Auburn this year if he winds up at Kentucky. Keyshawn Hall and Kentucky are definitely in communications.
I think last I saw on that was it was just the initial list of his suitors, and I know they were on there, and I think LSU was on there too, but I don't
– Understandably LSU.
Has it just reached the point now where it seems like Kentucky's the front runner?
Well, I mean, I saw that that he'd had a Zoom call with Mark Pope in Kentucky. So I would say, whoever – winds up with Keyshawn Hall is going to get a guy that can score. No doubt about that.
Yeah, just that scoring ability that he has was the one thing last year where it was like, I'm sure he had his games, right, and his moments. I'm not thinking of any particulars off the top of my head, but just wire to wire, that was a guy who you saw it from the jump, like could create his own shot, could score at will. And
get to the free throw line, really could.
What, it'd be 5 schools in 5 years for him?
Yes.
So technically 5 for 5, right? 5 schools in 5 years, but that's quite an ascension for a kid like that. Just that story, to go from what, UNLV to start to that.
So. Yeah, and last couple of years could very well be in here in the SEC. So we will see. So to that decision by now there's been a sort of a blanket decision by a judge that would allow players who have either graduated or were in the portal. And that's something I've had a couple of people ask, why would any of those guys gone in the portal? Well, because some of them were hoping to get an extra year.
Mm-hmm.
But not all of them did. So it's not going to be the massive number that we thought.
Mm-hmm.
Because players either have to have graduated, been in the portal, or returned to the school that they were at last year. So it's not going to be as big a number. And for the players, I think for a lot of the players, it would be tough because there wasn't any plan for them to be returning to their prior school.
Right. I think a lot about totally different circumstance. But, when the portal opens for, a 30-day window last year heading into Auburn's season, and you're thinking whether it's Keyshawn Hall or Tahad Pettiford, with this coaching change, are you going to lose one of these guys? And I think ultimately what you found is I don't think that time frame was conducive for them to find a place to go. Like, they were already enrolled. A lot of schools players had already been enrolled. And I can't imagine the complications that have stemmed from all of this for a lot of these kids, whether it is returning to that school or finding a new place to go. And I'll be honest with you, once I saw that there was that blanket waiver update, it's not that I've tuned it out by any means, but it's one of those things where I was already okay, this could get really complicated. And then I was just sort of I don't know what this means. I don't know who this rules out. I need to sit back down and digest it a little more myself.
Well, my feeling is there's probably going to be another challenge of this rule, a challenge of that decision from someone who didn't go in the portal because they didn't think there'd be an opportunity for them to have an extra year. And now judges have said, well, yes, you do. I mean, I don't understand. Of course, I don't understand a lot of things the NCAA does or has done. And I really can't imagine why the NCAA didn't just at the time go ahead and say, all right, everybody who has not exhausted their 5 years is going to get a fifth year.
Right.
And go ahead. That would have allowed players to have had time to try to find a place, from back when that decision was made early summer to right now. Because now you've got, you have a few football players.
Right.
And Alex Golish was even asked about it. BMAT asked Alex Golish yesterday, was there a possibility? I mean, and as he said, the way we understand it right now, it's a limited number.
Mm-hmm.
You have to find somebody who fits into that category of being able to transfer somewhere and has that fifth year that they haven't used to be able to get them in. And you also need it to be somebody who you feel like fills a need. And like you said, I think in Auburn and Alex Golis's situation, it needs to be somebody who fits into the mold of what you're looking for as a person, not just a player.
Absolutely. I think it's one of those things where, I think it was last week when we talked about this a little bit, but, I think there was the old lineman at Texas who's coming back, and I think there's been a couple others, but football to me is one of those sports
right
now
where it's very few thus far.
This football is going to be the impossible one, especially guys
going
to new schools. Not only to get in shape, but potentially learn a new playbook. Like, that's
that's a massive undertaking. I really, to me, it's like baseball and I meant basketball, but technically baseball. I think those two would, you know, be a little more conducive.
Yeah,
to
you've got a little more time too, mm-hmm. to try to understand, you know, the system that you're getting into, and baseball especially.
Right.
I mean, baseball would be the easiest of mm-hmm. the three. And I'm not saying it's easy to play college baseball by any means, but you've got longer and it's not game planning as mm-hmm. much as, you know, hit, pitch, run, throw, you know.
Right, with just how individualized that sport
yes.
gets. And basketball, too. I think they both are more conducive to it, even with, you know, we've got,
It's not like you have to learn a different style
right.
of defense
right.
when you're a baseball player.
Exactly, you know? Exactly. And that's like football to me. It's just one of those things where I'm like, did you even need to do it? You know, did you? And I mean, obviously it's not that simple, you know?
I mean, there was talk of a defensive lineman at South Florida that was looking for an extra year of eligibility and mm-hmm. at the time didn't get it
mm-hmm.
from the NCAA. So somebody like that, mm-hmm. because he at least would understand what he's getting into,
yeah.
you know, playing for Alex Golish.
I think I saw that too. I think it was, Travion Mitchell was his
yeah,
name.
Yeah, I think you're right. I had forgotten his name, but I think you're spot on.
But yeah, like that is a textbook example of what makes sense for football, mm-hmm. for any football program in this circumstance of, okay, new school, like he's got to be, going somewhere where he already knows a lot of the people if he doesn't know the place.
And for a young man like that, he'd probably know more about what to expect at Auburn mm-hmm. under Alex Golish than he would at South Florida.
Yeah, honestly, no. And that's a very good point. That's man, it's just, it's so weird. Some of these conversations, like you take that in a vacuum of a kid having a better understanding of a totally foreign right. program to him than one he's been at for what, at least the last two, if not more years than that. I just, it's, what a world.
That's, yeah, it's how different college athletics is than it was just a few years ago. All right, let's tell you what we'll do. We'll go ahead and get to our final break of the afternoon. We'll come back with some sort of closing thoughts on what we saw and what we're looking forward to seeing here at preseason football practice. Again, plenty of time for you to join us if you'd like. 334-321-1390 as we wind things down here on the Wednesday Drive.
Let's get back to the drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron on ESPN 106.7
and online at ESPNAU.com.
To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive. Final segment here on this Wednesday. All right, trying to do a little detective work. Yeah, I love it when you think maybe that somebody, Travion Mitchell, is the young man that Adam was talking about, and it looks like he would fit the mold of what might be a possibility
mm-hmm.
for Auburn. He's a played at 6'2". He was 6'2", 282 on the South Florida roster last year. In his fourth year of college football a year ago, he started his career, and I am not even sure how to pronounce this or where this school is, at Chowan University, C-H-O-W-A-N. Could be Chowan. I do not know where that school is. It's in the Gulf South Conference, though.
Okay.
So, because he made the all-rookie team as a freshman, had 27 tackles, 11 tackles for loss, 2 sacks, and 2 quarterback hurries as a freshman in 2022.
Any guesses on where? I don't know if it's Chowan. I don't know
yes,
how to pronounce
Chowan,
it.
Chowan, I'm not sure.
Would any guesses on where it is?
I'm guessing mm-hmm. it's in Florida. I don't know.
Murfreesboro,
Tennessee.
North Carolina.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, I've seen a Murfreesboro. There's a Murfreesboro, Tennessee.
I was like, I'm going to pause at this comma because I know he's going to think Tennessee.
Yeah. Oh, man, you got me there. No, Murfreesboro, North Carolina. All right, so he's originally from Maryland. So he played his first 2 years there in North Carolina. His second year, he was first team all conference, led his team with 57 tackles, 14 tackles for loss, second in the conference, and 6 quarterback hurries. Then he moved to West Florida in Pensacola, where he was named Division II all conference, all super region, second team, was co-defensive player of the year. He led the nation in tackles for loss at 1.9 per game.
Man.
And then played his fourth year last year at South Florida, played 12 games, had 29 tackles, 6 tackles for loss, 2 sacks, and 4 quarterback hurries. Sounds like a guy that does a good job of, you know, penetrating, getting pressure on the quarterback,
especially like interior havoc. I mean, that's to have that kind of pressure on the interior is always pretty significant. And I think that's a textbook example of what makes sense for Auburn. But I also think that is just such a good, you know, you probably have to tailor and fit that conceptually, hypothetically, to other schools. But that is a broad model of what, to me, makes sense for these football kids right now trying to get a fifth year.
And he had entered the transfer portal and was denied a fifth year because he had played 4 full years.
And now things have changed,
and
right?
Now we have the 5 for 5. So, yeah, that's a perfect fit somewhere.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be surprised to see someone, you know, reach out and see if they can't add Trayvon Mitchell.
Absolutely.
To their roster. And that's why, you know, that's – the most likely candidate, you would think, if Auburn were to add someone. And Alex Golish said he wouldn't rule it out.
Yeah. No. So we'll see where it goes. But that's, I mean, seriously, that is a perfect example for, I think, any school by and large. Like, if you're looking for a kid, obviously got to have some of those logistical things, but the familiarity and the product, like, it's just, that's an example to think of. If you're like me and you're wondering, like, who does this even make sense for? Think about Trayvon Mitchell.
Yeah, because I was saying, as we were talking about how difficult it would be, I mean, you could see specialists for something like that, or our kick returner, someone who that's their specialty, as somebody adding, you know, otherwise. So, you know, with that in mind, I think tomorrow I'm gonna try to watch the defensive line.
Yeah,
I mean, I wanted to anyway, but I wanted to start with the offensive line today. But I think D line's going to be really interesting because I want to know sort of the pecking order there. Auburn's got some really intriguing, as I asked DJ Durkin yesterday, some sophomores. There are quite a few, you know, young guys who got a good bit of playing time last year as true freshmen, all dotted throughout that defense, but especially there up front defensively.
Yeah, it's not so much an if to me with a lot of those questions of personnel on the defense. It's usually you'd say a matter of when, right?
Yeah.
And I don't think it's a matter of when, but a matter
of
which
one. I think a lot of those
one.
Guys are going to play. I
right.
mean, they're going to be in the rotation, you know, and they're on the defensive line with Malik Autry and Jordan Crawford and Darian Smith inside, and then Jared Smith, and, you know, you've got other young guys.
I even think about a guy like a Joe Phillips.
Oh, yes.
You know, I mean, he's I think still technically out at the edge. I seem to recall him moving around in some sense since Golish got here, but I don't know that that's right.
No, he was definitely working with the edge DNs.
But he's a kid who, you know, I mean, that was a blue chip prospect who I think picked Auburn over Georgia. And it's like,
right.
You know, why not? Like, he's stuck around. And
that would be a great story too,
right.
Because it's been tough for him injury wise and trying to get into the playing rotation. And he decided to hang. He's a guy that, you know, a lot of folks in that situation would have said, let me give it a shot somewhere else.
Yeah, but I think I'm going to be joining you over there with the defense and just kind of getting a gist of that pecking order, whether it's with the D-line or with that secondary as a whole, too.
Right.
It's
there's so many possibilities there in the secondary.
Right. So I didn't spend much time over there myself today, but I think that's going to be the viewing for me tomorrow too. So I'll see you over there.
Oh yeah. Yeah. We'll get that opportunity in the morning, but before we run out of time, Adam, again, remind folks of how they can keep up with everything that you're doing on a daily basis.
Absolutely. And you know, as we talked about earlier, like there's going to be some project stuff throughout the preseason and heading into the year, but there's going to be a lot of daily stuff. And if you're wanting to go straight to the source, just head to montgomeryadvertiser.com and click sports at the top, and you might get a drop down list or a line of titles and sections, but just click on Auburn and you're going to have everything you need. And if you're looking for me, whether that's Twitter, TikTok, just search at Cole Reporter, C-O-L-E and the word reporter, and you're going to be able to find me wherever you are looking for me.
All right, I will see you there in the morning, but I will not be on the air tomorrow.
Ooh.
We'd already made plans to be in Atlanta to check out a concert tomorrow night.
Who's on the docket?
So Ferg's gonna be we got Ferg and Don Dunn.
Okay.
That'll be handling it tomorrow. on location at Pythoge as well. Mm. So, yeah, it's going to be fun. Brandon could not be here. So Tripp, who's got his show tomorrow, and I think it's his final solo show tomorrow, is going to run the board for Justin and Coach Dunn tomorrow.
Nice. That's awesome.
Yeah. Adam, always great, man.
Yeah,
Looking forward. I'll see you in the morning.
See you in the morning.
That's going to wrap things up for the Wednesday drive. Have a good one, everybody. We are out of here.